Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by his name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. I'd like to welcome you back to our Skies Revival Radio, the voice of revival throughout the Northeast, coming to you from Prince Edward Island. And revival is so important to us because Jesus tells us that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. But unfortunately, because we are in the world, over a period of time, we tend to start becoming of the world as well as in the world. It's not that we walk away from God. We just kind of drift, and the things of God start to become distant to us as we are seeking the things of the world and living in the world. So every now and then, the Lord sends His wonderful instrument of revival to bring His church back to the place that they need to be, with a heart that is fully His. And there is nothing so powerful, there is nothing that promotes revival more than the Gospels. Jesus' own words are the most powerful vehicle to stimulate us to seeking after Him with all of our heart. Now, if you know me, which many of you probably do from our concerts in your area, you know that I am constantly pointing people to the Gospel of Matthew. That is my particular favorite because I find it to be so clear and so powerful. So we're going to continue our study of the Gospel of Matthew today, and I think that you're going to be greatly encouraged by it. We're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Now in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" At the time John spoke these words, Israel was dispersed and Judah was an oppressed remnant occupied by the Romans. Israel was desperately looking for their Messiah, who would be as a new Solomon, who would establish Israel as a leading kingdom among nations. As they prayed for the coming of Messiah, they were looking for retribution on their enemies and glory and wealth. But God's wisdom was much higher than that. Instead, God sent John to prepare the way for the Messiah by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And in this single statement, two worlds collided. It was a different kingdom, incomprehensible to what they were expecting. God sent a kingdom of righteousness when they were expecting a kingdom of earthly blessing. And why did He do that? Well, think about this. If God had set up an earthly kingdom like they were expecting, the Pharisees would have been all over Jesus, trying to get the best positions for themselves. And then the kingdom would have been filled with all corruption, because they were filled with pride and self-righteousness. So instead, God sent a kingdom of holiness so that those who were looking for earthly glory would want no part of it. Now, the truth is, Jesus is coming to establish an earthly kingdom, but when He comes, He will place in leadership those who desire righteousness, those who long for holiness. It will be for those who are humble in heart, like Jesus is. Now, to understand all this, let's back up a few steps. When Adam was formed, he was the father of the human race. And when he sinned against God, all corruption entered our race, and we became defiled with sin. When Jesus appeared as the new Adam, He lived a life of complete and perfect righteousness, and through Him, true righteousness is brought back into the human race. Adam sinned against God in the garden, and when he was caught, what was his reaction to being caught? Well, Adam blamed his wife, and his wife blamed the serpent. And then, to further condemn Adam, he also blamed God, saying that it was the woman that God gave him that made him to sin. And the biblical record stops there. There's no record of either Adam or Eve repenting for what they did. Through the ages, this is the issue. We all sin, and we, like our first parents, haven't repented. So all the machinery of heaven is focused on this one element, that is bringing the human race back to the days of Adam to complete what was left out. The new Adam comes, and the very first thing his spokesman says is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He is addressing the very issue that was omitted in the garden. God wanted to heal and restore mankind, but the people were not repentant. They weren't sorry. So now the real kingdom has come through repentance. Now let's continue with verse 12, which says, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and his winnowing fork is in his hand." And this is important because the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to John to be baptized. And John was not rejoicing that they came. Instead, he said, "What are you doing here?" He was very severe toward them. And why was that? Because they were going to take the ceremony of baptism and turn it into just another outward observance that had nothing to do with changing their hearts. And so, this same word is addressing us today, that we would not turn the ordinances of God into a ceremony with no inward change of heart. John the Baptist was saying that it's not the ceremony God is looking for as much as it is the change of heart. Baptism is meant to be an outward seal of an inward change of heart. So we, like them, have a tendency of turning these ordinances into outward observances instead of a true change of heart. Even going through various tracts to lead someone to the Lord can become just an outward ceremony as we tell people to do this and they'll be saved. But John says that Jesus is coming with a winnowing fork to blow away the chaff. And God is doing a great winnowing right now in preparation for his earthly kingdom, which is coming soon. The word says that the same spirit of Elijah and John the Baptist will precede his coming, and a great winnowing will come to clear away the chaff. And what is the chaff? It's the same now as it was then. Looking for an earthly kingdom, the fulfillment of all worldly desires and passions. We're looking for a religion based on ceremonies and outward appearances that don't require a change of heart or a change of lifestyle. Just do this and you're saved. The way that you live your life after that is hardly ever addressed because it's all under the blood. This may not be said openly, but it is the inevitable outcome of teaching that worldly desires are okay and encouraging God's people to build an earthly kingdom. We don't address sin anymore. We just bring all worldliness into the church, put Jesus' name on it, saying that God wants you to have all these things and to do all these things. And we feel very justified, very church-going, very righteous. But it's a club. We've never been confronted by God about our sins. We've never been taken back to the garden to become actually sorry for our sin. And the true kingdom is always addressing this one point: heartfelt repentance and bringing forth the fruit of righteousness. John says to us today, the same as he did to the Pharisees, "Go and bring forth fruit of repentance." We can't enter the true kingdom of God as a ritual or a ceremony. We must have true sorrow for sin We must be sorry for worldliness, sorry for compromise, sorry for breaking the first commandment by setting up idols in our heart, sorry for choosing anything and everything over God. If you were put into a room by yourself with all the pleasures of the world and no one watching, what would you do? This reveals what is actually in our hearts. And this is where winnowing comes in. If you could do anything in the world, or you could have Christ, which would you choose? This demonstrates where the heart is. Now, on the encouraging side, Psalm 103 says that he is mindful that we are but dust. He knows when we come to him, we are a bundle of earthly passions. And we've just added God to the mix of what's already in our heart. One little tiny cross is set up in the temple of our heart, while the rest of our heart is crammed with every passion and false god. All the things that we really love to do, all the things we're passionate about. But we have invited him, so he does come and he is there. And as we grow, he points out the areas in our heart where we love things of this world more than him. And it's then that we must go back to the garden. And what must we do? We must repent. We must humble ourselves, confess our sins, and repent. We must do what our father Adam left out, and that is to have sorrow for sin. Now, when we are finally brought back to the garden to take care of that missing element, something wonderful happens. Now the grace of God is on us. Because of Jesus' shed blood, we can be forgiven. When someone comes out of the world, God knows it's going to be a struggle. And he has great patience as long as we have the fruit of repentance. As long as we are repentant, we have been brought back to the garden and through the new Adam entered the real kingdom. Even though there's a war inside of us, as long as we are struggling and wrestling against sin, we are beautiful to him. But if we come to him as a ritual or formula or as a lifestyle that we have grown up with, without sorrow for sin, as very many do, we are fit only for the words that he says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Sorrow for sin is the fruit of repentance. If there is no sorrow, get serious. If you have no sorrow about your worldly lifestyle, about the things that draw your attention away from Christ, and you love those things and you don't want to give them up, it's time to get serious with God. We can't go through our Christian life without true sorrow for sin. We must see it and we must be repulsed by it. That's why in many cases there seems to be more hope for big sinners than those who have a lifestyle of Christianity. When John says he will baptize you with fire, most people think that he means power, but no, he means a purging fire, a fire that will convict us of sin. Sin must be burned up, and this is the grace of God. This is the power of the true gospel. This is how the gospel changes our lives and makes us into new creatures in Christ. It is not an outward ceremony. It is an outward seal that an inward change has taken place in our heart where we love the Lord and we are sorry for sin. We receive a new heart through Christ that longs after righteousness, that longs to do the things that please him, that wants to be out of the world, free from sin, and walking with him. This is the miracle of the new birth. That's why it's called being born again. We are given a new heart that desires to please him and to walk in a way that pleases him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask you to do a great work to reveal every area where we might have gone through our conversion as an outward ceremony without it really changing and touching our hearts. Please reveal to us every area that we have been holding out, every secret love, every love of the world that has come between us. Lord, we want to love you first and foremost. We want you to be the true love of our life. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to put your finger on the various areas in our hearts that are offensive to you, whether it's our entertainment or our pastimes or our pursuits or our passions. Lord, please point out these things and then give us a true heart of repentance that we might get fully right with you, fully right with God, which is real revival. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly throughout Northeastern U.S. and Canada, as well as all across the country on our Sky Family mailing list and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.